This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR.
And the quality of life often better than here in the U.S. Many older Americans are finding a bit of retirement comfort abroad that is no longer affordable back home. They've given up on sunny Southern California and Boca Raton, Florida, in favor of that picturesque cottage in a Bulgarian Black Sea resort. Up next on Point, affordable homes beyond our shores. I'm joined from Montevideo, Uruguay, by Maria Reynolds, co-owner of Reynolds Propiedades and Relocation in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Also joining us from New York is David Mashonsky. He's the CEO of Coldwell Banker Hunt Kennedy and an international real estate specialist. And Mr. Mashonsky, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Anthony.
Real pleasure to talk to you. Let me start off the segment by asking you a couple of questions. What's going on? What's making this possible for so many people to consider doing this?
Sure. It's actually a fascinating trend that's going on. We have the baby boomers, who everyone knows has been fueling the American market, and actually the whole market worldwide. This is the first generation, frankly, in the history of the world, who when it came to retirement said to themselves, instead of going back home, which is where people traditionally go back, have said to themselves, maybe I'll leave the country. Maybe I'll go elsewhere. And that's underlying fueling this boom.
Hmm. But certainly there are conditions that make this boom, make sort of acting on this boom possible. What's going on sort of globally, internationally, in terms of real estate, finances, and so forth?
Yeah. The Internet is number one. 15 years ago, remember, it simply wasn't possible to log on as I am right now onto worldproperties.com and be looking at floor plans, be looking at land, be looking at apartments, houses. You can see everything at the from a click away right now. Mm-hmm. That's a major change. The second major change is over the last 10 years, the National Association of Realtors here in the United States has taken a real leadership role and tried to take American standards, which are the highest in the world, I might add, for real estate brokerage, and convey those standards worldwide. So they got together with groups around the country, around the world, called and put together a group called ICREA, which is the International Consortium of Real Estate Associations. And basically, what you've got here is now about 28 countries who have banded together to try to create U.S. style standards worldwide for the sale and purchase of property.
I see.
And that's made it a whole lot easier.
And when you look at it, and why are those standards so important? When you're talking about these standards, you're talking about some basic things that anyone who's bought a house in this country takes for granted. A search on title, make sure the title is clear, that there are no liens on the property, that you're actually buying from the person who owns the house, these sorts of things.
Yeah, Anthony, you've hit it, and it's an excellent point. The fact is, we assume that the way we buy and sell real estate in the United States actually exists worldwide, and in fact, it doesn't. We are the model for the world. There are so many aspects of a real estate transaction that are immensely complicated. You've hit upon one, just title. It's a very simple thing. We take it for granted. We assume you can buy title insurance. We assume the people selling you a property actually has clear title. Those kinds of records are simply not kept in many places around the world. So that's something where you really need a professional to help you to make sure you're getting what you think you're buying.
Mm. David, we've been talking to Maria Reynolds, who sells property in Uruguay and Argentina. Are those on your list of hot places to buy?
Oh, absolutely. Argentina, of course, which is rapidly escalating in price, by the way, but there was the devaluation in 2002. That sent prices really to the floor. There's been a tremendous amount of buying. I actually have two friends who have bought apartments down there under $50,000 several years ago. They've told me that they've doubled in price. But even that, under $100,000, you can get a terrific deal in one of the great cities of the world, Buenos Aires.
Maria, are you seeing a lot of Americans coming down there and taking advantage of your services and looking to buy in those sorts of places?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing many. And I would say most people, they buy a property to have as a pied-à-terre. They use it maybe once a year or twice a year. And then the other thing that is really working out is renting the properties on a short-term basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually rent properties to foreigners that instead of staying in a hotel and paying, I don't know, $100 a night, they can get a really nice 1,000-square-foot, two-bedroom, two-bathroom apartment, maybe for $300 a week or $400 a week. So that ensures that Americans, for example, and we're seeing also from all over the world, they buy a property, they use it for their holidays, or they lend it to some friends, and then while they're not there, they have short-term rentals, and that's working really nicely.
David Mishonsky, you were talking about Eastern Europe, I believe. What's hot in that part of the world?
Just about everything is hot. Bulgaria, that is one of the greatest bargains in the world today. It's a fascinating country. It's got wonderful seacoasts. It's got wonderful great mountains, magnificent views. And $15,000 or $20,000, you can buy a palace there. And I think what's important, whenever you consider these countries, it's not just the price of the real estate. You're just not buying real estate. You're buying a lifestyle. And you've got to find out whether the lifestyle in that country is suitable to you. And that means culturally. That has to do with food, that has to do with just the way people live in that country. But remember, that's what you're buying in addition to a piece of real estate. Now, in Eastern Europe, you can still go. I know I lived in Poland 10 years ago, and things have changed a bit now. But back then, for $100 a month, we had a cook, we had a driver, we had a maid, we had an au pair taking care of our kids. And that was $400 a month to live a rather elegant lifestyle. Today, that would probably cost you about $600 or $700 a month, but you can still afford a lifestyle in many of these Eastern European countries. And while I think there's a few more risks in Romania, that's another one to look at.
What kind of risks? Hungary. I'm interested in talking about some of the risks in all this.
Well, you know, there's just issues that you take, for granted here in the United States, crime. Many of these countries or places, you just don't go down and there isn't a policeman down your corner who you can report crime to. In many respects, you can be very much on your own. I think Romania still has a bigger crime issue than many of the other Eastern European countries.
Mm.
We take for granted police forces. Well, 10 years ago in Poland, police forces were something that were literally unknown. But
sure.
Everybody was a rookie on the job. They'd been on the job for a year.
Mm.
Today, that's changed. You've got a place like Poland, much more mature, much more sophisticated today, and much less risk, and therefore much higher in price.
Stand by, David Mishonsky. We're going to bring in one more voice from Ciudad Colón in Costa Rica. We're going to hear from Tom Mead. He's 69 years old. He's semi-retired for the last 4.5 years. He lives in Costa Rica. He's from the United States. He and his wife, Nancy, moved there when they could no longer afford to live in the U.S. They had no pension other than their combined Social Security, which came to about $1,600 a month. Tom Mead, are you there?
I am here, sir.
Well, tell us your story. I'm fascinated to hear it. How do you like life down there in Costa Rica?
Well, life down here in Costa Rica is fantastic.
That's great.
Do you want me to elaborate a little bit?
Absolutely, elaborate. And, you know, pick up on the point that I made. I understand from my producer that you are having trouble affording life in the United States.
That's correct. That's correct. That was one of our prime reasons for moving here. Because we could not afford to live there anymore on just Social Security and maintain a standard of living that was decent. Mm-hmm. So we moved here. We were a little step ahead of most because we had lived here 35 years ago for a period of time and loved the country, et cetera, et cetera. And when we did our world travels and got back and decided to move out of the country, out of the United States, we determined that this was the best place to go. So,
and give me an idea of what it cost you, versus the kind of money you had to spend to live out your retirement in the United States.
Okay. Briefly, we bought a very small home, a little town outside of the capital city, in a totally Costa Rican neighborhood. Our real estate taxes, for example, our real estate taxes are $50 a year.
Hmm.
Our water charges are about $2 a month. Our electricity is about $15 a month.
And can I ask what you paid for the home?
We paid $42,000 for the house, and it's not a big house. It's two bedrooms, two baths.
Still, $42,000 gets you a kitchen upgrade in most American cities. That's pretty good that you got a whole house for that.
Exactly correct. And the value of the house has gone up in the last 4 years, not immensely, but it's going up rather than down.
Now, what about practical issues? And if you don't mind my suggesting this, you're 69 years old. Health care has got to be a concern for you and your wife at a certain point. You know, how are you taking care of those things?
Okay. Health care was a major problem in the United States, as you well know, and the cost of same. Here, once you become a resident, which is not a complicated process, once you become a resident, you are eligible for the national health care system. And the national health care system is gratis. There is no deductibles, no nothing. You go to a doctor that works for the national health care system, which are exceptionally good doctors. If you got to go to a hospital, their hospitalization is very, very good, probably not as luxurious as some of the hospitals in the United States. If you go to the pharmacy to get your prescriptions filled, nothing costs you anything. And our contribution to the system is based on our income.
Mm-hmm.
And for the two of us, it costs us about roughly $40 a month. For the two of us.
Well, it sounds like you've settled wonderfully down there in Costa Rica.
I think the Costa Rica example that we're dealing with Tom Mead, by the way, is interesting because Costa Rica has a medical school down there.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many doctors who've bought property because they went down to school, they ended up loving it there, and as a result, the health system in Costa Rica is very good, and it is attractive to retirees like Tom Mead. So if that is a concern to somebody, Costa Rica is a place to go. Then you want to be near a city like Mexico City. But then there are the resort properties like Cabo San Lucas, places on the Baja, which are attracting about 10,000 Americans a month moving down there.
Wow.
And there is plenty of infrastructure available for health care. It's going to cost you a little bit more than it is in Costa Rica, but that's certainly something as a retiree you've got to consider. But it's not something that you need to be excessively concerned about. It's just another one of the considerations that you take into
sure.
account.
Let me ask that question to Maria Reynolds down in Uruguay, who sells property in Uruguay and Argentina. Healthcare, big concern for a lot of Americans, might even be a reason to move for a lot of Americans. How's the situation down there?
Well, you would probably get some private health care in Argentina or Uruguay.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to find out, because if you do have an illness from before, then it might be a bit more difficult. I would say private, the public system is available to everybody. Again, doctors are extremely good. And as Tom mentions, the hotelry in the hospitals are not very good. But if you go to private health scheme, then yes. And another thing that I would mention, some other things to take into consideration would be communications and the weather. We had some people that moved to Panama. They really liked the infrastructure. It was very American-friendly, but they died of the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two other issues that that one should think. Or do you need to be online back home every day? Then do find out in these places that you consider whether internet is widely available.
Sure. Interesting. David Mishansky, I guess sort of one of the considerations that people are going to have to make is, do they want to move to a place that is close to, easily accessible to, all of the things that make them sort of feel comfortable in living in a place like the United States? Or do they want something completely different and a real foreign experience?
You know, this requires somebody who's got a sense of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important that we say that. And it's probably what Tom Mead and others were experiencing. But if you don't have a sense of adventure, this is not necessarily going to be something for you. This is many people feel is, this is my last great adventure in life. I want to go and take the plunge. And I know I'm going to give some things up, but I'm going to get other things in return.
Tom Mead, sense of adventure. Do you and your wife, Nancy, have that? And you know, give me a sense of what is the adventure down there? I mean, what's fun and interesting day in and day out?
Okay. A sense of adventure, yes, we've always had that. But as far as Costa Rica is concerned, the sense of adventure is not that much of a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Someone earlier commented on climate in Panama and so forth, and we're familiar with Panama, Nicaragua, and all the areas. One thing about Costa Rica, which is extremely unique amongst many, is that you can pick any climate you want in this little country of 4 million people.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about American retirees living out their golden years abroad. Here's an ad for condos for sale in the Dominican Republic. Two-bedroom, two-bath, completely furnished with a television, stereo, microwave, and internet connection, $149,000. Here's something a little more rural, Patagonia, Argentina, a two-bedroom house, one bedroom, one bathroom, living room, fireplace, adjoining kitchen, beautiful views, bucolic setting, $79,000. And helping us, guiding us through this global real estate market from New York is David Mashonsky, CEO of Coldwell Banker Hunt Kennedy, and an international real estate specialist. Also on the line from Costa Rica is Tom Mead. He retired and moved to Costa Rica with his wife, Nancy, and finds living down there a lot more comfortable than retirement up here in the United States. Tom, are you seeing the quiet world off the beaten track that you moved to changing since you've been down there?
Oh, yes, in some areas, particularly in the northern Pacific Coast area. There's a province called Guanacaste, which is very, very beach-oriented, et cetera, and a lot of Americans and a lot of Europeans have bought up a lot of property up there, and it's developing very fast. The area where we live is growing, it's developing, but not as rapidly, and the cost factor is not as rapidly increasing as it is in those areas.
Mm. But David Mashonsky, we can buy into these places that are beautiful and quiet and perhaps undiscovered, but it is sort of a double-edged sword. The good deal that allows us access to these places, also the avenue that is going to change these places from what made them attractive to begin with, perhaps.
It may very well, but we're a long way from that. Most of these countries have got their arms open wide, encouraging you to come down, encouraging you to invest. They want foreigners to come in. They've had very lackluster real estate markets. Many foreigners help to upgrade the expectations in those countries. Better restaurants can open up, better shops can move in. I think what's interesting today is that we've been talking so much of what we call emerging markets.
Mm-hmm.
And many Americans today have got money invested in emerging market funds. And they might very well consider taking that allocation and instead putting it into an emerging market via real estate, via a home, rather than buying those stocks and bonds. And either way it comes, that country is generally wanting it. The other thing I think we've got to remember is that real estate is not something that you can pick up and move.
Right.
So ultimately, the countries control you that you're investing in, and that is part of the investment risk that you're taking when you invest in one of these countries.
Yeah, and what about this risk? I mean, I think in the United States, we take it for granted that any time you buy a piece of real estate, it's going to increase in value. Real estate just keeps going up and up and up and up. Is that something we can take for granted around the world?
Certainly not. Certainly not. In addition, on all of these countries, we're talking about liquidity. Can you get into these countries and get out of them someday?
Hmm.
We assume that in the United States, that you can put your property in the market and you can get a couple of bids, depending upon price, within a relatively short time, 3 to 6 months. That is certainly not the case in many of these markets. They are developing. Just to also put this in perspective, many of the exciting countries we've been talking about, like Costa Rica, like Bulgaria, have not even been allowed admission to ICREA, the International Consortium of Real Estate Association, because they do not have the international standards yet to allow for admission. And that's something else one really has to keep in mind.
Very interesting. I want to bring in another voice. Greg Leach is joining us from Mountain View, California. He's a 53-year-old building contractor, and he and his surfing buddy built a vacation getaway near San Jose del Cabo in Mexico. Greg Leach, thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Can you describe a little bit your situation and how you've invested outside the United States?
Sure. We like surfing. My friend Chris Scarborough and I like to go surfing, and we'd gone on a couple trips to Mexico over the years, and one time we were down there, and we just had this sort of dream of, hey, let's buy a piece of property on the beach. And it was pretty evident once we went down there and seriously started looking that we couldn't really get something right on the beach because that was already beyond our means. But we wound up buying a little lot with the idea of putting a trailer on it that was within a five-minute walk from the beach. And then within 6 months of traveling back and forth down there to go and enjoy it, we realized that the place was, I mean, it was going crazy. People were buying lots and building houses. And so we said, you know what, we should build a house and maybe buy another lot. And so at this point in time, we have built one house, and we bought one more lot with the idea of maybe selling the first house so we can pay for the second lot and have a place free and clear.
Wow. Wow. Now, tell me what you're thinking about doing with this place. Is this a place for your retirement, or is it a place just to go and enjoy the surf at a cheaper price than Mountain View, California, where I gather the surfing isn't very good?
Well, the surfing is actually good within 40 minutes of here. I live close to Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I thought with a name like Mountain View that the waves probably weren't cresting on your doorstep there.
No, they're over the hill, actually. But we thought first that it was going to be a place to visit as vacation. And as we've gotten more and more involved, we've become more savvy as to what's going on and everything. And at this point, we're actually considering moving there because we've built a house and bought a piece of property for a tenth of what it would cost us here where we live. Okay. And we see it as an opportunity to move there. And, we're builders, and we know the business, and one of us speaks Spanish anyway.
Sure.
And we both love the place. And so what started out as just sort of a whim is now we're seriously considering moving there to help other people do what we've done.
Well, Greg, good luck, and thanks so much for joining the show today. I appreciate it.
Sure. No
That's
problem.
Greg Leach, who's joined us from Mountain View, California, who's setting up a bit of a business in San Jose del Cabo, Mexico. To this point, a lot of our discussion is focused on people who are sort of retiring and maybe they're sort of financially set and find a better deal abroad. But what about people who want to buy, live, and work and earn abroad? Are there deals there? Are there obvious places to go?
Again, we assume being the freest country in the world where we open our borders to people to come and welcome them that we would get the same abroad, and that simply is not the case. In fact, the more you could broadly take the world and divide it into two segments. The affluent countries often set up some of the biggest barriers for Americans coming in, and it is the less affluent countries that have reduced those barriers in order to encourage foreign investment. Just as an example of that, in Switzerland, one of the richest countries in the world, it would be impossible for an American to buy a home there. And many of the European countries have got barriers for Americans to actually buy. So, yes, it's something you must check out far in advance to make sure that you can do it. And usually if you can do it, you're going to have to get a special permit, and those permits can take anywhere from 4 weeks to 6 to 8 months. And another generalization just for your listeners that might be helpful is, in general, the former English-speaking colonies are the ones that are the most open to foreigners buying. Many of the Spanish-speaking or French-speaking colonies are less open.
Very interesting. Todd is calling from Newburyport, Massachusetts. Hi, Todd.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Well, much like many of the other callers and your guests, the properties, I think most people don't realize the properties overseas and in other countries in the South are far, far cheaper, than we're used to here in the States.
Sure. Have you found property in a particular part of the world that you want to tell us about?
Yes, actually. My wife and I, 2 summers ago, purchased a property in Finland.
Ah.
And we have a house that's 115 square meters, is about maybe, 1,200 square feet equivalent. We have an apartment upstairs that we rent for €250 a month, actually to a friend, and our mortgage that we got at a local bank over there is about 190 something euro a month. So
So that's about $190 a month, a little more, I guess, these days with the exchange.
Yeah, it's about like $1.25 to the to the euro. But
and what was the price of the house, Todd?
When at the time when you converted it back to the dollar, it was about $48,000, and we have about 3/4 of an acre of land with an outside, you know, a barn and a garage, and it's amazing the difference.
Wow. David Mashonsky, I would have thought that Finland and northern, you know, a northern European country would have been out of reach, but not so, according to Todd.
Not so. And of course, this is a very interesting call because so much of what we've been focused on has been waterfront and warmth and that kind of environment. And yet very few people realize that there is a booming market. Southern Sweden is the same as southern Finland. Hmm. Beautiful areas, beautiful country areas, rocky coastlines, looks very much like Maine. And you can pick up some wonderful properties there, beautiful, charming properties that you'd never find here in the United States. And those are destinations for Europeans as well as many Americans who may have ancestry there and want to go back to their roots.
Very interesting. Tom Mead, I want to get you back in this conversation down there in Costa Rica. What about your family? When you and your wife, Nancy, moved down there, you're moving away from your family. Was that a consideration, and how do you stay in touch with them?
Well, it wasn't a great consideration because we'd lived overseas for a lot of years, but we have kids, one in Minnesota, one in California, and one in Kentucky. And for them to come visit us is not very expensive. I mean, there are all sorts of good airfares down here and so forth, and it's a couple hours from the United States. For us to go visit them, it's not a factor because we haven't done that for years, and we keep in contact by the internet, email, telephone, etc. So there's really not a big problem for us.
Do you miss anything about your former life in the U.S.?
None whatsoever. Not a thing.
David Mashonsky, I think you should sign this guy up.
Anthony, you know what? What he's pointing out for everybody to see so clearly is that the world has fundamentally changed in the last 15 years.
A lot smaller.
It's a lot smaller. Mm. You can be on your computer talking to your kids breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day as if they're right next door. You can get places more easily. Everything is easier today. And as a result, the world is smaller, and therefore this is why we are at the very beginning of what looks like it's going to be a very big boom in international properties looking forward as the baby boomers make it through to retirement over the next 20 years.
I have another. Our time is running short, so this may be the final question. But David Mashonsky, when I was younger, living in the Boston area, there was a rental company, and it used to drive around the city with a sign on it that said, "Live like a king, rent everything." Why not just rent in these places, forgo the hassles of property ownership, but still take advantage of the low cost of living?
You certainly can, and that is the easiest, most viable way of doing it, by the way. And there's usually no restrictions in any of these places on renting, so you can do it. And then it becomes simply a lifestyle difference. And for that, that's fine. I think the rationale for not renting is just that many of them are so inexpensive to buy that desire to own, which is so primordial in all of us, takes over, and we say, well, we want to own our own piece of dirt here rather than renting somebody else's.
Okay. David Mashonsky, thank you so much for joining us today and guiding us through this global real estate market. It's been a pleasure having you.
Delighted. Thank you.
Sure. David Mashonsky is chairman and CEO of Coldwell Banker Hunt Kennedy in New York City. He's an international real estate specialist and has taught international real estate all over the world, including Bangkok, Malaysia, Singapore, China, Sweden, Greece, and Poland. And Tom Mead, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, a pleasure. A pleasure to talk to you.
Tom Mead lives with his wife, Nancy, and he's retired, living in Ciudad Colón, Costa Rica, and he's joined us on the phone from Costa Rica. You can continue the conversation, download the On Point podcast, and subscribe to our daily newsletter, all at our website, onpointradio.org. On Point is produced by Meghna Chakrabarty, Julie Jopp, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Matt Lieber, Hillary McQuilkin, James Ross, Tanya Rally, Christine Russo, and Karen Schiffman, with help from Matt Odette and Angel Cozzelli. Our senior producer is Joe O'Connor. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.